A pessimist sees only the dark side of the clouds and mopes. A philosopher sees both sides and shrugs. An optimist doesn't see the cloud at all. He's walking on them. This is The Thought for Today with Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capel, California. A pessimist sees only the dark side of clouds and mopes. A philosopher sees both sides and shrugs. An optimist doesn't see the clouds at all. He's walking on them, said Mr. Levinson. Be an optimist. What does it mean to be an optimist? Do we want to always be walking on the clouds? Do we want to always be sort of in the Netherland? It would seem that would be a lovely place to be. It would seem that would be a very harmonious place to be, a very exciting place to be. However, when you're there, there's nobody to help. When you are walking on the clouds, when you're in the total optimistic attitude of life, there's no service to be done. You don't have a church because there's nobody to come to the church. They all know it. You don't have a grocery store. Everyone is always well fed. You don't have clothing stores. People don't need clothing. If they choose to wear a garment, they think it and they are it and they have it. If you're going to a dance, for instance, and that's something you might choose to do, you say, well, let's see, this is a cocktail dance. It's an afternoon dance. I'll wear my cocktail dress. This is an evening dress, an evening program. I'm going to wear my evening gown. Oh, I don't know. Let's see, which one shall I take? And it's not one that you have. It's one that you have in your mind. And whatever thought you have in your mind is what you have. Now, this is truly an optimist. This is truly one who walks on the clouds. He doesn't see the clouds because he's walking. He lives in the consciousness of the allness right now. You know, we think that it'd be wonderful to speak our word and instantly have what we want. And that is true. It would be wonderful to speak our word and instantly have what we want. We do, but we don't know it. But you see, you will never have that. I will never have that. That will never exist in our world until we clean up our thoughts. Because if you are living in your divine awareness, you don't say, whoops, made a mistake. Can you imagine the divine being, as we conceive it to be, saying to itself, I made a mistake? That'd be ludicrous, wouldn't it, for God to make a mistake? Did God make a mistake, as Abraham Lincoln said? God must have loved the poor people. He made so many of them. Now, that's a sad statement to make, isn't it? It was a charming statement. It's one that brought a lot of chuckles to a lot of people. But would God make a statement like that? No. In the essence of God as we understand God, in the essence of the allness as we understand it, there is only whatever we choose to experience in our world. Now, would you like to have a world filled with peace and harmony and abundance, right action, truth, joy, wholeness, purity, kindness, every lovely thing that you can imagine? Would you like that? And the answer is no. The answer is no. Because if you would like that, then that would be your only thought. Your only thought would be thoughts of love and peace and joy and harmony and abundance and right action and wholeness and goodness. That would be your only thought. Can you understand me? It would be your only thought. You could not have a thought in your mind that was inharmonious with your desire for yourself. Now, this is a master. And you all want to be masters. You all want to walk the master path. You want to live the master way. But I gave you a couple of tests this morning. A phone call from Mr. Pasolia's friends and so forth. telling us that he needed our love and attention. Now, what was the first thought that came to your mind? Truly, the first thought that came to your mind was, gee, I wonder what his problem is. I wonder what his need is. I wonder what we can do to help him. If that's the first thought that came to your mind, you are a long way from the master path. You're off on some tangent here. And as long as you stay on those tangents, you're not going to experience the master path. But you see, in truth, we don't want the master path. Because the moment we have the master path, there will be nobody out there to help. Because everybody will be just as magnificent as we are, because that's what we see. We see what we are in our world. And that is a truism. Whether you like it or not, that's true. Whatever you see out there is what you are. If you ever doubt anybody, just for an instant, you're doubting yourself. If you ever think someone is trying to misuse you, or someone's trying to take advantage of you, or someone is trying to use you, that's who you are. If you think anyone would ever, ever want to hurt you, then those are thoughts that go through your mind. You know, you're watching these movies, and the bad guy is being badder and badder, and you say, kill him, stop him, do it to him. And it's only a movie. It's only a test that you have given to yourself to see if you can see a bad person and not see him bad, but see him good. Could you change the movie? Could you change the film that is up there projected by somebody else? Could you change it? And the answer is yes. It's your consciousness. It's your thought. Now, let me ask you this. If you are so naive, so innocent, so childlike, and you look at an experience, how would you look at it? You would look at it through your childlikeness. You'd look at it through your innocence, and you would not see evil there. We spoke of this Dickens movie where the young man said to his jailer or his employer, however they want to determine, why are you unhappy at me? I do whatever you ask. His innocence was so beautiful, he did not hold one thought of evil against that man who was being very unkind to him. Now, why did he create that man doing these things? Why? You want to know why? Because it was a test he was giving to himself to see if he was untouchable. And he did pretty well at it, wouldn't you say? He was like Job, who was given all of these evil things happening in his life and all of these terrible things being taken away from him and his body being loaded with boils. I mean, that's tough. That's tough. And this guy in this Dickens story, he had rickets and he had other diseases of lack of vitamins and sunlight and everything else. And did he blame anybody? All he did was say, the world is beautiful. And did you look at his face? Here, the face of a person who was twisted with pain and unhappiness and being beaten, it was radiant like the sun. It was radiant like the sun because he did not know evil, even though it was inflicted on him, even though it was all about him. He did not know evil. Can we, even in a little bit, arrive at that point? We look at the writings of Charles Dickens and we say the time out of which he wrote his books were a very difficult time in England and around the world. And there was much abuse going on in many ways. But you see, the pure see only pure. And the pure lived in Dickens' time as much as they live now. And Dickens' time is another dimension of consciousness that we are on. And you could be that boy living in that consciousness and that pure spirit. And here you could be a jerk, you know, where you see problems and you see the world needing your help and you see evil about you. You know, that's so silly, isn't it? It's so silly to create things that we don't agree with. But we create things that we don't agree with when we empower thoughts that we say we don't agree with. And to empower a thought is to think a thought. Is to think a thought. And is this what we're going to do? Our statement here says, a pessimist sees only the dark side of the clouds and mopes. But, hey, that's okay. That's his choice. Everything is sad. Everything is sad. And he likes it. And he knows he likes it. Because he has optimistic friends who want to pull him away from that. But he likes it there. The martyr likes it there. And that's okay. And then the philosopher, they say here, a philosopher sees both sides and shrugs. Which means, what is that to me? I go my way. I am untouched. I live my pure, magnificent life. When Socrates was teaching his students, everybody remembers that the naked children were feeding them grapes and stuff like this, and that they were having orgies and they were having this and that. If that's your thought. Another group of people, they looked at what Socrates was doing and they were saying he was causing the young men to reflect upon their own thought and come up with their own thought on topics of the day. Eating the grapes and drinking the wine and being served by these people, that was the standard brand of that day. That was what the world was at that day. And there was nothing good or bad or right or wrong about it. There was a time in America where the black people were servile and they had to be slaves. But that's because they wanted that. They went through that. And then as soon as they didn't want it anymore, as soon as the Martin Luther King came along and said, I have a dream where all men are equal and all men see alike, then the black people didn't enslave themselves anymore. They saw themselves just as wonderful and magnificent as anybody else. But hey, take another page. The Chinese were brought over from China. And they were put into slavery too, a very unkind slavery. And they were made to put up the railroads in America here. And in the process, if they died, poof, no big deal. They were considered nothing. But the Chinese did not fight it. They just went out and were themselves beautiful, dynamic, wonderful people, untouched by that experience. The Chinese never go back and say, hey, remember the slavery that we were in? Remember the hardships we were in? Remember the tough times? They don't do that. They let the past be past. One day the blacks will let the past be past. One day you will let the past be past. And stop thinking about your mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers and aunts and uncles and start thinking about yourself. Recognize that you are divine. And then create your mom and pop and sisters and brothers in the divine pattern of your mind. See them in all the goodness that they ever were and even some goodness that they never were. Create them. You're the creator. Create your family as a joyous, fabulous. Create your employer. Create your world. Create your whoever, you know. I walked through a field one day. I told you about it. And it was late at night in the other property here. And I heard a lady call, Millie, come in now. And I thought, you know, the dog would go in the house. So I was walking along. It was on the edge of our property. And all of a sudden I heard something crashing through the bushes. And I saw this great big black thing. I had no idea what it was. Big Doberman Pinscher it was. And I said, how about that? You know, I could see it in the moonlight. You know, it made it all the more exciting. And I was naked. And so I knelt down. And I said, Millie, come here, Millie. And it was Millie. And Millie came, wagging her tail and kissing me all over, trying to be friendly as could be. I said, Millie, your mother wants you now. Go home. And so she started to go away, but then she thought, hey, I'm having more fun with you. So she followed me on the entire rest of the walk. I could have been frightened out of my wits. I could have been chewed to pieces by that dog if that was my expectation, because it had the capacity. And protecting its land. It was really my land that I was on, but it doesn't know that difference between an acre here and an acre there. We had 200 acres there. And all I had was a loving, and she followed me home. I went in the house, and I told my dogs, stay in the house now, because it's not good for you to be out at night. And Millie was sitting on the back porch, scratching the door, wanting to come in. And I said, Millie, go home. Your mother wants you. And once or twice during the night, I went out and told her. And in the morning, I went out there, and she had gone home. But we are frightened by our own little clouds that we make. And it's up to us to create a world of magic and all sorts of beautiful things that make our hearts soar in glory and happiness. You see, a pessimist sees the gloomy side and enjoys it. A philosopher is untouched by it. See, a philosopher is not what you want to be yet. A master, a philosopher, you don't want to be yet, because they're untouched. Whether the grass is green or brown, whether it's growing or dying, whether the rain is falling or not falling, whether anything is or is not, a philosopher is untouched, because a philosopher lives in his own inner consciousness, and whatever that consciousness may be, and usually it's a nice balanced consciousness, he's very happy. But the optimist, he doesn't see the clouds at all. He's walking on them. He sees everything in the world as a joyous experience. Now, perhaps that's why we're here. Perhaps we're here to be an optimist. Perhaps we're here to be God, to be divine, to be wonderful in every possible way. And if that's the reason we're here, then you want to be a pessimist or you want to be an optimist? You want to experience all the problems in the world or you want to experience all the delights in the world? So, I personally am a philosopher, and you all know that. Some of you are tending toward being a philosopher, but most of you are tending toward being an optimist, seeing the world beautiful and good and perfect in every lovely way. And that's just fine. And some tend to be a pessimist. And we understand them, and we love them, and we release them, let them play their game, but we're untouched by them. Now, anyone who wants to be sick is being a pessimist for a while. They think that their illness can control them. And then they wake up and say, hey, no way, I'm whole and perfect. And the illness is gone. Just that simple. So, my love, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? Do you want to be an optimist, pessimist, a philosopher? You want to be your divine self? Well, let's just remember one thing, and remember it very carefully. We chose to be born on this earth. We chose to be living on this dimension of time and space. There are many other dimensions of time and space, and we're living on all of them right now. And some of these other dimensions of time and space are quite remarkable, and some are quite sad by our understanding. And which one do you choose to be on? Some little children are born onto this dimension. They say, whoops, made a mistake, meant to go on to the next one. And they pass on and go away. And we think, oh, how sad that the child died. No, 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 no. It wasn't sad at all. It's his decision. He made the decision to come and check out this earth. And he said, no, no, this is not the time period I want to be here. I want to be here at the time period of the Atlanteans or the time period of whatever. And you can do that. You can do that. And you don't really make a mistake. He had a slight curiosity about this time, and that's why he came. And a child knows everything that anybody would ever want to know. He just doesn't have the equipment to express it yet. But it's all there. And we have the equipment to express it, but we're caught up in it, and we stay here. Some people die. Some people have amnesia, and they forget all this here. And some people are walking around with, we say, less marbles. And those people are untouched by the world. Are they stupid? Not really. From our human point of view, they seem a bit irresponsible, but we take care of irresponsible people, idiots and children, you know? And isn't that an interesting statement? We take care of irresponsible people, idiots and children, because they can't take care of themselves, we think. And are they taking care of themselves? Quite well, probably better than we are taking care of ourselves. So look carefully today into your life and see if you are getting everything out of your life that you could, or are you getting everything out of life that you have been taught you should be limited in getting. It's your choice. And you're very wonderful, you're very magnificent, you're very special people. But that's only because I'm standing in your presence. So I am special, and I am wonderful, and I am special, and you are special, and wow, we have a bond here of speciality that is unbreakable. And wherever we go, whatever we do, that bond remains that we are divine, completely and wonderfully now. Now you all have a lovely day. I love you very much. I see you accomplishing every single thing that makes you happy, and I see you happy right now. I love you, I love you, I love you.